The last while we've been praying, like I said, and fasting on Mondays, just in a season. Just want to search God's face a bit more and just focusing on just that hunger for God and who God is and getting to know Him in a new way. And also in my life, it's been a good journey. I just realized that I just got a new hunger for God. Through this couple of weeks, I can experience something is changing. I know some others has also testified during this time, something that's happening. I'm so grateful for that, and I can say that there's a change, and I can see it, I experience it, things that I want to do, or it's as if these things are just fading. Even the rugby is fading a little bit. So, but really, God is, the more I spend time with God and just being in His presence, it's just so amazing to every time to get just another glimpse of who God is. And you see something else. And we've been watching these Planet Earth movies, a partner from the evolution stuff and all of that. That's what they show there. It's really amazing. And my dad got the second disc, Planet Earth number 2, from my sister from London. And I just watched it with Gustav and Samuel, Lucy, all there, and the little bits of it. And then all that they say, they see these animals and stuff, and they say, wow, and Daddy, did you see that? And did you see that? And wow, did you see that thing? And I tell them, all of that is just glimpses of heaven. It's just a glimpse of heaven. It's just a glimpse of who God is. That's what we are seeing. And these people, they take months, they take years to make this documentary, to just bring us a glimpse of God. And that is so amazing. And I every time that they go, wow, I tell them, that's just another glimpse of God. And that is just amazing. I was talking to Theo also this week, and I'm telling him that it's like there's so many treasures. It's the only way for me to describe it now. When I read the Bible and coming here to worship, there's so many treasures. And God is just, every now and then, there's just something that pops up, or a scripture that pops up. My easiest way to describe it is as a treasure. Because sometimes it's unexpected. And these things come up and we just see God in a new way. And we see what God is doing. And as we pray for one another, and as we pray, we walk together, I realize even as a family, we celebrate together. And we walk together, and we trust God even to enhance our relationships with one another. Because what we see in the Bible, God speaks to churches. He speaks to communities. Even when He teaches us to pray, say, Our Father. There's always that community. It's always people together, searching God, trying to know God. And I know in family, the funny thing is in family, you guys know, I've said it so many times, that's where we Easter sleep Easter, we get to know one another, some things we don't like, some things we don't want to hear. But this is a special place that God has just created for us. The church family, a body of Christ. Where we together can get to know God. That we together can be on this journey. And we can learn from one another and see glimpses of God in one another. And through this time that we've been talking and about abiding in Christ, I just realized if nothing is changing, then if we don't change anything in our behavior, or if we don't make any changes to get to know God better, then we are like the man that's building his house on the sand. We often quote that scripture, yeah, you must build your house on the rock and everything. But if you go to the scripture and you see what it's really saying, it's in Matthew 7. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. And I realize that in this time we will learn new things from God. We will discover new things. We will be challenged on certain things. And then we need to make a change. Then we need to make lifestyle changes. It's not good enough to just to come here every Sunday and have a great time and then walk out and just go on with life. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. And when the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And God is just challenging me on this thing. There's a lot of teachings. We are blessed to be in a church where we can have people coming here, share the word. We have our Bible study. We learn so much. We receive so much. And as we just abide in Christ, as we take the prayer of meditating on the word, we bring all of that to God. It's doing something in our lives. And that then it's just a flip where we actually make a lifestyle change. We do something different. Somebody said in another church, he said, I used to come to church because I thought it was something I need to do to be a good person. And then the pastor asked him, so why are you coming now? He said, because I love Jesus. That's why I'm coming. And many times there are things that we used to do, pray, reading the word. There's many things that we do just because we think that we must do it. And we've talked about these things. But when God comes and we get these glimpses of God and we explore something about God, then there's a love of God that will just spring up inside of us. And then we just respond out of love. And really the title of this sermon, I call it A Date with the King. A Date with the King. I realize that each of us, we must have those, when we must have dates. Dates with the King. Our King, and my King, and the King of the universe. And we must set up those dates. We must set up those appointments, set up those times. It's funny, before you get married, you just see whoever you want to every time. When you get married, they say that you must have date nights. Maybe it's because you get busy or something. But it's so important that you connect with the people you love. And it's not only to be there. It is to hear what's on their heart. It's to share intimate thoughts, to share your heart with them, and to hear their response. And sometimes it's a bit of just listening. I know there's some guys, we've also done it sometimes, where we just share, Lee and I, where we will talk and share a moment, and there's some things that's hurting us, or where maybe I've done something that Lee didn't like. So this giving us space to share without getting aggressive, or think, okay, right, I want to give my opinion here. Just listening. Just listening. Just staying calm. And I realize sometimes we need to do that with God. Where we're going to hear things, we're going to experience things, we're going to, it's our loving Father. It's our King. He's going to speak things into our lives, and then we need to make a change if required. But there's an intimacy that comes with that. There's a greatness. There's a treasure. There's something amazing that happens in that moment where we just surrender, where we just stand back and say, okay, God, speak to me about this thing. Because this is really hurting me, or someone hurt me. Just allow God to speak into your life. Allow God to show you new things. Allow God to break open the word. And Hebrews 11 verse 6 said, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. I think Robert shared this at intercession as well. Believe that God exists. often the devil will want to come and he want to challenge us on our faith. He want to challenge us on our belief. He want to challenge us on our God image and who God is. Believe that God exists and believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. When we come to him, we can know that we can press in to hear, press in to get that word, press in to get an answer, and continue to press in. Continue to do it. We need to make room for the King. Make room for time with him. St. Augustine said, "If you believe what you like in the Gospels and reject what you don't like, it is not the Gospel you believe but yourself." If you believe what you like in the Gospels and reject what you don't like, it is not the Gospel you believe but yourself. If you do this, believe just what you want and obey just what you want to obey, then you are effectively the God of your own religion. We just want to do whatever we want to. Take those pieces that are nice. Take those little bits. Then we are the God of our own religion. And this is quite a challenging bit. That's why I love Bible school. Because I know in Bible school, in our Bible study, we get to a place where we can learn more about God and explore the scriptures and see more, just who God is. Learn the word and you get a more complete, you see where you are deceived. We see our own blind spots and we discover together. We discover together. I really want to encourage you guys to start planning and thinking about Bible school. We have Shofar Bible School. At the moment, it's only at Shofar Rondebosch in our region. But we are talking how we can work together and maybe in future we can bring it closer. But the point is, what I want to highlight is just Bible school is important. It's important to spend time in God's Word and getting to know Him even more. A God that's interested in us, a God that is jealous over us. He's jealous over you. He knows everything about you. And he just wants to spend his time with you. He desires those dates, those date night. And that's why I'm asking about when we worship. I say, what is that last testimony? What is the last thing that God showed you? What is the last thing that God has done? I realize this past week, something that I was just on my bike, and someone was coming through a robot at a fast speed. It was quite hectic, and I was just standing there waiting, and I just said, "Praise God!" I just waited. I'm very, how can I put it? I'm not in a hurry on my motorbike. Because I know it's like walking with a cup of coffee through a house. If someone bumps you, you spill the coffee. That's motorbike. If you want to get a glimpse of it, you don't want people to bump you. You don't want to knock over things. You're going to spill the coffee. So just at that robot, and I couldn't see what's happening in front of me, and I just waited. I wanted to go, and then I just, no. Just wait. Responsible. And then suddenly, this something came through the robot. And I realized that my life is just it's a glimpse. It's like that. If I was going 2 meters forward, the guy was just coming there, then I would have been, flying. So, when we started talking about this abiding in Christ and everything, we mentioned the prayer, we mentioned worship, all these things, and we said, these are just, God is with us, God's Holy Spirit is working, it's that wind of God. And these things, when we do it, it's like us just raising the sail, just to catch the wind. And it's like a pass of grace. And some others, they also call it a pass of grace. When we come and we worship, we pray, we meditate on the Word, we're just positioning ourselves in this path of grace to have an encounter with God. But I realize we've got so many filters and there's so many things the clouds are vision of who God is. And even the way we've been brought up or how we see church and all of this, there's so many clouds. And God just want to come and He want to remove the clouds. He want to remove the mist. He want us to move from where some of these things are duties. He want to move it to delight. He want to move it where we just rejoice in God and who God is. I quickly want to show you a clip. Let's see if the guys can get it to play. I'm just going to start it again, see if they can get the sound. I know we're having a problem with the laptop. That's why I said not to put them on the spot. Let us see while they're busy. One of the scriptures that we... It's because we are really made for community. And even, I want to read you a quote of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He said, "The Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. He needs him again and again when he becomes uncertain and discouraged. The Christ in his own heart is sometimes weaker than the Christ in the word of his brother. His own heart is uncertain, his brother's is sure." Sometimes I'm at a bad space. Then I just need a word of encouragement from someone else. I just need the perspective of someone else that can look at the situation and can say, wow, this is what's happening. It's not so bad. And sometimes we can be that encouragement to someone else again. And that's the amazing thing. That is how God can be manifested, glimpses of God being manifested in community. We also need a community to confess our sins to one another. And that's what I realized. As we confess our sins to one another, as we confess the things that we struggle with, the things that we've done, God comes in and He brings healing. God comes in and He brings healing. To live in isolation is such a bad thing. We can't unpack it, but we have no relationship with anyone. You're not speaking to anyone. And I just want to... It's a dangerous place. Let me just say that. It's just a dangerous place. And I trust that we want to be a community that knows God. Us as a church, so some of the things that we put down in the beginning of the year, but some of the things that we're still growing towards, but you already put it in front, and this is what we want to strive to be. A community of believers, of people that's growing together, that's learning and knowing God in a new way and representing Christ. And as we're part of this community and as we see this glimpse of God, we will represent Christ. And I realize that it's also important just to see each other's blind spots. I've got many blind spots, and you guys do have blind spots, and we need to help one another. And that happens in community, and it happens through community. Hebrews 3 verse 13 says, "You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God." Look out for one another. Be there for one another. We know these things and we hear it all the time, but it's imperative that we actually do it, that we start making a change in the way that we live. That we will be like this man that is building their house on the solid rock. It's fine. What's happening there is there's a guy that walks in. I'll quickly tell you. The guy walks in. There's six, say, artists or photographers. And they say that the same guy walks in. And they say that they need a nice profile pic that will depict whatever they're going to tell them. So for the one guy, they say, this guy is a millionaire. So you need to take a photo where someone will look at this photo, can see that he's a millionaire. The other one say he's a commercial fisherman. So just take a nice photo and put it up there and he's a commercial fisherman. Other one say this guy's a lifesaver. He saved many guys and it's quite amazing what he's done. But the other guy said, this guy is a stuntman. He's doing movies, he's doing all these crazy things. Other one, I think, maybe family man and something else. So nobody knows this guy. You just walk in and that's what they know. They need to take this picture. And they put up all these pictures on the wall. And everything looks different. Same guy. And then the guy walks in and he says, "Guys, I'm actually none of these things. I'm none of it. And just based on what you've heard and what someone told you, you created these pictures to show that to the world and to show it." And I realize often that is what we do with God. We've got an idea of God. We've got a certain picture. Sometimes it's not even our own revelation. And we put up these pictures about God. And God is just challenged me. He says, "I'm just so much more." That's why Bible school and studying the Word and those things are so important. That we can have the right picture of God. That we can know God for who He really is. Sometimes even through life experiences and stuff that happened to us, there are things that we say, "But this is happening, and this happened to me, and why this and why that?" And it's difficult for us to have that testimony that God is a good God. Then there's someone else. Then there's Anshwa and Jock. For them, their testimony, God is a good God. God is my healer. That's what they've learned about God. That's what they experience. That's what they know about God. Someone else will have, "God is my provider." And when we come together and we bring it together and we bring the Word, we learn together. And somehow we get this, who God is. The truly almighty, glorious God. That can be for each one of us what we need Him to be. But not like a spare wheel. Whenever we need it, we just want to reach out of it or out to it and use it. No, available there for communion. Communion is that intimate sharing of thoughts, ideas. It's intimacy. So on the one side, there's the union of Christ, that Christ is with us and His love for us do not change. It's that unconditional love and He's with us. The Holy Spirit is here, He's in this place. God is living in us and through us. But then there's this communion with God, this relationship with God, where He wants to tell each one of us in a unique way amazing things. Because He loves us. He loves relationship. And I realize even Jesus, the Son of God, made time to connect with His Father. Even Jesus took out regular time to pray, to work through things. Regularly, we see Jesus taking time out, taking time aside, the Son of God, just to commune with the Father, just to spend time with His Father, just to learn from His Father, to hear from His Father. And He said, "That was my bread, to do the will of my Father." That was my bread. And then lastly, that what I realized, Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." We all want to accomplish things. We all want to leave a legacy. And there's so much. And then there's the demands of the world and so many things that's pulling at our resources, pulling at so many stuff. And that's why this last couple of weeks, it's so important for me that we can get it right, that we can see God for who He really is. That we can spend time with Him, but also to hear from God. There's some things that I pray for you guys, and I trust God for to hear words, specific things for everyone that comes and asks for prayer. But I realize there's so many things that I can't do. It's only God can really satisfy your soul. It's only God that can really come and open up your heart and bring healing where necessary. Bring a word where it's necessary. And when that happens, the amazing thing is there's a joy that you will experience that is above anything else. There's a joy that comes from God where it is beyond anything. Beyond anything. And from that place, when you experience that joy, then we just want to share it. Then you just want to share. Then you just want to say, "Wow, this is what God has done for me. And then it's easy. Then it's easy. The things that you have pleasure in, the things that you delight in, usually we want to share it with someone. Usually we want to share it, say, this was so amazing. I watched that movie. Man, you must go and watch that movie. That is so amazing. You must listen to this song. I bought the CD. Buy it for yourself. It's amazing. So God is just preparing our hearts to do something, to bring a joy in our heart that is beyond anything. You know, those clips where I know some of us, we like Pentatonix, that band, and a cappella, and man, it is amazing. God is beyond that. Way beyond. That's just a glimpse of who God is. That's just a glimpse of who God is. That's when we start to experience all these things. There's be a joy that's going to come up inside of us, and it'll be easy to share. It'll be easy to share. And just something I just wanted to add is, the Bible speaks about waiting on God. It's not, we are in this path of grace, and we do these things, prayer, worship, meditating on God's Word, being in communion, to be in this path where there will be encounters of God. But there's also a waiting on God. Because sometimes we do something for the experience. We say, man, I feel so much better after I read my Bible. And don't want to confuse you guys, but I think you will understand that sometimes it's just this experience. This is something that is great. To come to church, it's so great. We see everyone is here. It's amazing. And there's all those things, those side things. Yes, that is great and it is true. But the price is still to connect with God. That is still beyond everything. That is still the most amazing thing. And that's where the Bible talks about waiting on God. Waiting. There might be seasons in our lives where we go through times of prayer, times of worship, times of coming to church. And we say, Yaku, it feels like nothing is happening. God didn't change. God's love for you didn't change. So we must not base our understanding of who God is on our feelings and how we experience His love. His love didn't change. Who God is didn't change. It might just be a season. It might just be a waiting on God. Just pressing in, pressing in, pressing in, and then something amazing comes again. So I just want to encourage you by that. Psalm 113 says, I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on Him. I've put my hope in His Word. I long for the Lord more than sentries long for the dawn. So I've looked up sentries. It says it's a soldier stationed to keep guard or to control access to a place. So if you work night shift, man, when the sun comes up, you think, I'm going home. That's lekker. I was walking in Stellenbosch, there's some security work there while I was studying there, and then we do the night shifts. And always check your watch, just want to go home. You want to see the hours just go past. And I imagine working through the night. The sun comes up, you know that you can go home. You can go rest. And this is what that scripture says. I long for the Lord more than sentries long for the dawn. More than these soldiers that go right through the night. Long for the sun to come up and to come off shift. More than that, David longs for God. And it speaks about this just times of that there might be a silence, or it seems like God is silent. It seems like we're just waiting. We seem like we're in a difficult season. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Someone said, blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit down in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he, his precepts, his teachings, he habitually meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted and fed by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Not every season, in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever it does, it prospers and comes to maturity. And this can be true in our lives. This can be true, that we are that tree planted by the rivers of living water. And some of the big guys in history, Blaise Pascal, the engineers and the mathematicians, and they might all know him. He was one of those guys, he put a piece of cloth in his jacket. They realized it at his death. And on there he written, well, they said at 31 years old, something life-altering happened to him, and 8 years later he died. And he wrote on this piece of cloth that he stitched to whatever jacket or clothing he wore, he said, "The year of grace, 23 November, from about 10:30 in the evening until about 12:30 midnight, fire, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not the philosophers and scholars, certainty, heartfelt, joy, peace, God of Jesus Christ, my God and your God, the world forgotten and everything except God, joy, tears of joy, the fountain of living waters, Jesus Christ, let me never be cut off from him." That is what he wrote on this piece of cloth that he carried with him wherever he went, to remind him of his God, to remind him to spend time with God. And others did the same. There's this guy, Will, he kept a rock in his pocket. And they say, like this rock, it's this, the edges are round. It's being shaped by the life circumstances, but he can, this is a reminder of God is with him. And we read in Deuteronomy 6 verse 12, he said, "Be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt." Find something, guys, find something to remind you, or maybe a reminder or something to build in those habits of this spending time with God. Build these habits in your life and really trust God for new things, to hear from him, to see him, to discover him in a new way. And not only will it, it's not only for us. You think, yes, it's for me that I can be that tree. And there's other people, this is the last thing I'm going to say, there's other people whose lives depend on our life. It's not to add pressure or something, but that is true. We're not isolated, each one by ourselves. You are affecting other people. And when we have spent time with Jesus, when we have spent time with God, when we have that glimpse of God, and when we have a glimpse of that joy of God in our hearts, then it's easy to be the hands and the feet of Jesus wherever we go. Then those things become easy. It's not a task. It's just that we are a new person. God has changed us. He's doing something new. Then when that angry outburst come at work, I said, "Man, like, what happened? Why are you saying all this stuff? There must be hurt. There must be something." Or you just respond in a different way because you have been with Jesus. Because you've spent time with Jesus. Let us stand. I'm just going to ask the band to come forward. And I just want to say that God is not like an angry school teacher. If you don't pitch for class, and then he's angry and this and that and that and that. God is beyond that. He desires intimacy with us. He's a jealous God. Desires it. And he wants to show us things. He wants to show you things that you can't imagine, you can't think about, you can't plan, you can't think about it in your own strength. He wants to show you things at your work, new ideas, new things. You will never think about it. There's testimonies of friends of mine that had designs in engineering designs. The guys asked them, how did you do this? He said, no, I got it in a dream. I was working as a programmer and I did some stuff that I don't know how it worked. Just God guided me and it just worked. But those are just some of the benefits. The ultimate prize is God Himself, to know God, to know God. And God wants us, He's close to us. His love is unconditional. He sent us Jesus to restore this relationship, that we can have relationship with Him. So this morning, I want to encourage you, just reflect on where you are. Don't go into guilt. Say, God, I want to know You more. I want to know You, God. And Lord, help me to build habits into my life of seeking You. Help me to build these things into my life just to get to know You and also in us as a community. Lord, help us to search You together, to learn from one another and to see those glimpses, to see more glimpses of God in one another. I'm just going to give a time where you can just respond to this word. We just want to say, if you want to pray, just pray to God. If you want to make a note, make those notes. Maybe you want to write down something or decide something or plan something to see God. And then during this week, you share it with someone. You pray together. I just felt in my heart that some of you, you must set aside a time, a date with your King. You set aside, put time out in your calendar. Take afternoon or evening. Just be with God in His presence and allow Him to speak to you. Allow Him to give direction to your life again. Allow Him to speak whatever without coming with your list, surrendering to Him. A date with the King.